Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and it's my prayer that we will all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You can be in person at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, or you can join us on our live stream. We have a live stream every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship, click on the live stream and join us and chat and offer up your prayers, connect and fellowship. You can worship. And if you miss all those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube at The Seed Christian Fellowship. Click on those YouTube messages. We have the weekly sermons. We have the weekly children's messages. And we have the weekly worship services. Our prayer is that you're going to grow in grace. We've been looking at the Apostles' Creed for the past few weeks. And as I prayed and prepared for God's plan for us, for our 51 Sundays of preaching this year, the Holy Spirit put it on my heart to teach on this ancient creed. This Apostles' Creed was first professed around 140 AD. Jesus had been crucified, died, buried, and resurrected almost 100 years earlier. Most of the disciples and first believers had died, and the second generation of the church felt the need to write down what they believed. The early followers of Jesus, the church, the body of Christ, used this Apostles' Creed as their baptismal confession. When a new believer wanted to join the church, they needed to be able to stand before the church and proclaim what they believed. That's the Apostles' Creed. I love history, and I truly believe that it is important for us to know history and to know what we believe. When I first went to college, I wanted to play football, but ended up becoming a collegiate wrestler. I also thought I would become a history teacher and a coach. God often has other plans for us. What has come to pass is that I love to teach His story, H-I-S-S-T-O-R-Y. And it's kind of like history. History is knowing His story. Join me in the Apostles' Creed. If you want a copy of the Apostles' Creed, email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship, and I'll email you a copy of it. This is week three. We've been looking at this line by line. The title of this message is God the Son, Which We Find Freedom. So I'll email it to you, but if you have it, maybe you know it, you can join me by saying it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We're looking at the Apostles' Creed, and we're breaking it down into three sections: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As you can see, I have these three sections kind of highlighted in red if you got a copy of it. The study really excites me, and oftentimes in my excitement, I get super serious. I want others to know the truth so that the truth will set them free. Jesus told the Jewish leaders who were following Him these words about the truth and freedom. He said in John 8:31-32, and then verse 36, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. That's John 8, 31 and 32 and verse 36. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter later to the early church. Listen to his powerful words about freedom in Christ in Galatians chapter 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Well, this past week, we celebrated July 4th. Today, we gather and remember our freedom, both the freedom we enjoy as American citizens and the freedom we have in Christ. When I think of freedom, I not only think of America, but I think of Jesus and how he freely gave his life. I have two readings today from the Bible. The first is a passage Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, and the section we will read is called the Hymn of Christ. Many scholars believe that this section of the book of Philippians was an early hymn that was sung in the homes of the faithful gathered in homes to worship God and celebrate the freedom in Christ. Well, let us pray before we go to God's Word. Invite God to be with us. God of all truth, set us free from our fears. Set us free from our failures. Set us free from our faults that cling so tightly to us. Let your word of truth sink deeply into our hearts and set us free. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, our church will gladly send you a Bible. Email me at PastorDave@TheSeed Christian Fellowship. We'll get you a Bible. Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11, the hymn of Christ. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest heaven and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Our second reading comes from the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you too will not grow weary and lose heart. Did you know when Jay Leno was the host of The Tonight Show, Leno did his famous, quote, man on the street interviews? One night, he hollered some young people to ask them questions about the Bible. Can you name the Ten Commandments? He asked two college-age women. One replied, freedom of speech. Mr. Leno said to the other, complete this sentence. Let he who is without sin, and her response was, have a good time. Mr. Leno then turned to a young man and asked him who, according to the Bible, was eaten by a whale. The confident answer was Pinocchio. Are we confused about what we believe? I think many people are confused about what they believe. That's why we're looking at this creed called the Apostles' Creed. I want us to study and know what we believe. Today we are going to look at these lines, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and was buried. One of the things that stood out to me this week is that when the authors of the creed added these lines, they were declaring the fact that Jesus was a real man who suffered under a real Pontius Pilate. Jesus' suffering, death, burial, resurrections were firmly anchored in history. It is a fact and it is history that Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea from 26 AD to 36 AD. Think about that. Somewhere between 26 and 36 AD, Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea. That would be right at the time of Jesus' earthly ministry. Each time we say these words of the creed, we have a real history on our side. This past week, I met with a very good friend who was told that he has inoperable pancreatic cancer. We met and prayed together. We laughed and we cried together. We read scripture and prayed even more. And one of the passages that we read was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Wow. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know if you're facing death or the death of a friend. I just was at a burial this past week, and I buried a good friend. And I know that death is swallowed up in victory when we believe in Jesus Christ. Maybe it's time for you to believe in Jesus. Some years ago, a lawyer by the name of Frank Morrison, he wrote a book called Who Moved the Stone? Morrison set out with the purpose of disproving the resurrection, of proving that Christ did not really rise from the grave. But the book turned out entirely different. It is a searching study of the scriptural story, truth, and history of a very real Christ and his crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection. I love what C.S. Lewis wrote to his friend Arthur Graves about the divinity and resurrection of Jesus. Lewis wrote this: the doctrine of Christ's divinity seems to me something stuck on which we cannot unstick, but something that keeps out at every point so that you would have to unravel the whole web to get rid of it. Deep theology coming from C.S. Lewis, but I love C.S. Lewis's writings. It reminds me of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Those people believe too. They believed that during the Continental Congress of 1776, the committee selected a tall, ranky, auburn-haired Virginian by the name of Thomas Jefferson to draft a opposition paper. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.seedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer link and write your prayer and let us pray. If you want a response, I think there's a place there to respond. And if you just want a personal response, you can email me at PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com. Our church would love to help you find a local church in your area so that you can grow in grace. We're talking about I Believe, and we're talking about Jesus being crucified. Did you know that during the Continental Congress of 1776, the committee selected a tall, ranky, auburn-haired Virginian by the name of Thomas Jefferson to draft a opposition paper? He secluded himself and, with minimum help, within about 17 days, produced one of the most profound and beautiful political documents ever penned. Congress debated the document, made a few changes, and then signed it with great fanfare. The ringing of the Liberty Bell and the making of clever speeches and costly commitments. Caesar Rodney, ill with a malignant disease that covered part of his face, rode all day and all night from Dover, Delaware, in time to stride, boot, and spurred into the Assembly Hall in Philadelphia Hall to bark, "I vote for independence." John Hancock led off the formal signing with a large, bold signature saying he wanted King George III to be able to read his signature without his spectacles. Signer Benjamin Franklin quipped, "We shall have to hang together, or we shall all hang separately," among many magnificent statements in this eloquent and comprehensive document. That which most succinctly characterized the American stance and spirit is their impeccable sentence, quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they were endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Toward the end of the Declaration of Independence, we find a summary sentence which places everything in perspective, and it says this: "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." This is a unique creed. The signers believed something very special was happening and that God would see them through. It was a new and courageous covenant. men mutually pledging their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, all for the sake of freedom. This is breathtaking and inconceivable in the fermentation of today's world. Have we forgotten the high price our founding fathers paid for freedom? Have we forgotten that 9 signers of the Declaration of Independence did not survive the war? Have we forgotten that many of the signers lost their homes and fortunes? One signer, Thomas Nelson of Virginia, directed the bombardment of his own mansion as Yorktown. Another signer, Francis Lewis, a wealthy New York trader, lost everything he had. His wife was thrown into prison and died shortly after her release. Signer Richard Stockton of New Jersey, a Princeton graduate, lost his wealth, property, and magnificent library. He was imprisoned and died following the war. These illustrations of sacred honor should remind us of the 4th of July, what the 4th of July really commemorates, a costly freedom. You know, on this time where we celebrate the independence of our nation, we remember the dedication, the devotion, the determination of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. We remember that many of the signers gave their lives, their fame, their fortune, and their families in order to fight for the freedom of this nation. And we also remember those who put together the Apostles' Creed. Like our own forefathers, they gathered to put into writing, in other words, to declare, "This is what I believe about God. This is what I believe about God." May we never forget that Jesus gave his life so that we could be free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We are not to fall back into slavery. May we never forget the words of the Declaration of Independence either. So what are we doing with our freedom? Are these ancient words of both the Apostles' Creed and the Declaration of Independence just ancient words that have grown old and lost their value? Or are these words something that we too would give our fame, our fortune, and our very lives to defend? Our forefathers of faith and our founding fathers have so much in common. They painstakingly drafted a creed and a declaration based on his story, history. You know, the Apostles' Creed, listen to it again. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." What do you believe? That's the question that I'm going to be proposing each week. What do you believe? What do you believe about God? Is God really your Father? God so desires to be a loving Father to you, promising you that he will never leave you or forsake you. God is the creator. Just go to the beginning of Genesis. In the beginning, God creates. He separates light from dark. He separates water from land. He separates and creates. And God creates Adam and Eve. He creates Adam and Eve, man and woman in his own image. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. I challenged you last week. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus really wants to be your Savior? Jesus is God. God wants to be your Savior. Jesus died to save us. What's the promise that is given? He was conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary, and he was suffered under Pontius Pilate. Now, when the writers write this, they set it in history. Pontius Pilate was a real person who governed Judea. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified. He was dead and buried. I did a wedding not too long ago, and I was sitting there talking with the father of the bride at rehearsal. Actually, it was the father of the groom, and he knows I'm the pastor, and he says, "What are you going to preach on?" And I said, "Well, I'm working on my sermon." And he says, "You know, every week you just have to tell people that there was this man who lived and who loved, who healed and produced miracles, gave sight to the blind, healed the lepers, offered up resurrection. He was suffered. He was crucified. he was dead. He was buried for 3 days, and then he rose from the dead and promises all who believe in him eternal life. That's all you have to tell them every week, that there was this man who lived, who died, and who rose again. Do you believe that? He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and was buried. He descended into hell the third day. He rose again from the dead. We're going to be talking about all this. He ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Those really, verse line 3-7 is all about Jesus. What do you believe about Jesus? If you have questions, you can always email me at PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. We're going to be working on each line of this Apostles' Creed, line by line. What do you believe? And then we're going to end with, I believe in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Catholic Church. That's small h, Holy Catholic Church. That means the universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. Boy, I love that part. The resurrection of the body. I love that part too. And the life everlasting. I really love that part. Amen. Amen and amen. That's what we're going to be working on. What do you believe? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? Around 140 AD, the early disciples, some of them were called apostles, wrote down what they believed. And they wrote it down, and for centuries, for over 1,800 years, people have been reciting this. And you join that great chorus of witnesses, this great cloud of witnesses. That's what Hebrews 12 is about. It's about what, listening to Hebrews 12 again. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Listen, I don't know what your race is. Your race is different than mine, but you have to keep looking at Jesus. Verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter, some verses would say, or versions would say, the finisher. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I say it every week, but your Jesus is your joy. And you are set before him, and he went to the cross to die for you. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. That is a true fact. And he rose again, and we're going to talk about that next week. Join us next week as we look at the next two lines of who Jesus is. My challenge to you each week is, what do you believe? Who do you believe? And how do you believe? We're looking at the Apostles' Creed. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for the saints that have gone before us. We give thanks for founding fathers. We give thanks for the apostles who wrote the Apostles' Creed. We give thanks for fathers and mothers, pastors and teachers, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas, whoever taught us the faith so that we're here today. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed week. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.